Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
PG has a history of not showing up, which is an understatement. Just the other day, I never met a human that will let a media rumor drive his like energy or personality. Like somebody was like, I heard he going to Philly. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to Philly, G. Do you know how soft that team going to be if him and Embiid go together? It'd probably be the most skilled duo ever since Kobe and Shaq. Embiid to be hurt and PG going to be Faldo.
Evan Turner, former Sixer.
Why you have to bring that up, though?
Well, I thought it was you know.
You did that on purpose. That's what you did when you walked out the room, didn't it?
Those my words or Evan Turner's?
Wet blanket. I'm just saying. We don't have to talk about the past.
We are presenting the full story.
And I remember that. And I remember all the stuff that I said. I remember, like, listen, you don't have to tell me that I was not a big fan of bringing him here. I wanted Jimmy Butler, but I'm excited he's here.
We're just trying to be fair and balanced in the midday show, okay? Like they're bringing the whole story to everyone so they can form their own opinions. All the facts.
You're just being a wet blanket.
And the fact is, Evan Turner said they're going to be the softest duo in the league.
He did say
all right,
that,
so let's hit this before we get the title odds and then all your phone calls here. What do you make of that? Because one thing actually stood out to me more than him calling them soft. I mean, whatever. That's one thing.
The injury thing?
Well, you know, him saying he's never seen a player who will let what people are saying about him drive his personnel in the way he plays like Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming to Philadelphia, Hugh. I mean, like, the L.A. Clippers could play in people's backyard in Los Angeles. And if you're not a Clippers fan, you don't care, right? They're way down the totem pole. Like, mm-hmm. Think about it. The Lakers are the story in Los Angeles,
yeah.
Right? They don't even register unless you're an actual
second-class citizen.
Now he's coming to Philadelphia. So he played in Indiana. He played in Oklahoma City, and he was a second-class citizen in Los Angeles. Hugh, this is a different level of attention. It's a different level of fan. I thought it was interesting that a former NBA player, one that played here, said that Paul George lets what people are saying about him drive his personality. That's interesting coming to a city like this now, where guess what? People are going to say a lot of things about him.
Well, yeah, if it drives it in a good way, I'm all for it. If Paul George is that guy that sits there and reads comments from what people say about him on social media and things of that nature— then, and if he's not playing well, I'm all for him reading those comments and getting the fire lit underneath him, because that's something that, you know, he probably hasn't had in a long time. He probably is a little bit laid back. You know, the California people that are born there and live there, they have a different way of doing things. Mm-hmm. It's more laid back here. It's more in your face, up on your heels and things of that nature. So if that's the case, maybe it'll help keep him healthier. Maybe this is a great city for him. And his laid-back personality.
I hope. I mean, I found it interesting. Listen, Evan Turner. Like, anyone could say someone has heard a lot of soft. That part was one thing. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting hearing him talk about how what people say about him, he hears it.
Yeah, and Evan Turner, you know, as a side, sounds like a bitter dweeb, to be honest with you. But, like, I'm with you. If it, I guess it depends on if it's going to be Tobias Harris taking offense to, you know, some of the boos and saying they're going to trade me for a crumble cookie and still putting up zeros, then that's one thing. But if he's the kind of guy that's like, you know what, like, I hear what they're saying, I need to be better. I don't know, like you made the
kinda
point.
Kind of like Bryce Harper.
Yeah, well, the pressure hasn't been, you know, in Indiana or in L.A.
Oh, it's never been like this.
Near what it is in Philadelphia. Yeah. So maybe it's the kind of thing where, with a little bit more of the scrutiny, he gets motivated more. That's a best-case scenario.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that couldn't happen. I just found it interesting Everett Turner said that. All right, let's look at the odds. FanDuel Sportsbook, the latest odds to win the 2024-25 NBA title. The favorite, and you won't be surprised, the Boston Celtics coming off the championship last year, they are the favorite to win. They are plus 300, 3-1 to win. The second favorite to win the title next season, the Denver Nuggets at 8-1. Tied third right now, so tied at 3. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Oklahoma City Thunder at plus 850. So the
OKC?
Sixers, OKC and the Sixers, plus 850. So okay. Hugh, your reaction, the Sixers have the third best odds to win the NBA title.
That I feel good about that. I feel good. And you know, there's going to be some growing pains because, you know, as well as this team fits together with the three, there's going to be some conversation that needs to be had about who's who in this hierarchy of the way things go. So, you know, but I'm excited about what they've done. I'm excited the fact that I think that if there's going to be nights where, you know, Paul George might be the lead and he defers to Joel Embiid and vice versa. So I'm excited about what they've done.
Well, that'll be interesting to watch. I mean, because we keep talking about Paul George as a high-level third option. He's also a very highly paid player. I do wonder if he... I'd love to have been a fly on the wall for that pitch last night when they...
So how does he view this situation that he's
right,
in?
Because once he walked in the meeting, he knew what their money offer was, right? The pitch isn't really about the money offer. He knows what that is, right? They're going to offer him a max contract. I wonder what they said to him, like what Nick Nurse pitched to him. Like, are you the guy that's going to have the ball in your hand with 2 minutes to go in a game? Is that... Are you going to stand in the corner and we're going to get it to you if someone's double-teamed? I don't know. I mean, I know he fits. I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Jeff in Wilmington is up. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jeff?
I'm excited for the fact that the Sixers have given us something to possibly be excited about.
Jeff, they have. I mean, that's true. Because a week ago, we were not talking about them as any sort of semblance of a legitimate contender.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. And obviously, the injury thing is going to be talked about from now until the next season ends. So hopefully they can all – hopefully they don't all get hurt at once. It's inevitable that they will at some point, because until Joel goes through a whole season without getting hurt, I'm going to continue to believe that he's going to get hurt.
Well, it's been his history. And unfortunately, it's been Paul George's history, too. I mean, his have been – probably less, I guess, catastrophic, but it's always something that he doesn't play 20 games or something.
Yeah. So, I know Paul George was the last one at the club. I just hope we don't have to do Coyote Ugly and bite our arm off at the end to get out of it. You hear me?
No, I caught that.
Yeah, now I'm excited for him. I mean, like I said, I'm a little bit reserved. I'm not where Chuck is. I'm not where Chris is, but I'm somewhere in the middle.
Jeff, good phone call, man. So I just pulled it up here. If you go to one of his, I guess his Fox Sports page, Paul George, they'll give you his injuries over the years, like what he's missed games for. Let me ask you guys this. Do you feel better or worse that it's lots of different things and not just one chronic area of his body?
One he tore something, didn't he, or broke something?
Yeah,
didn't he?
So I'm just going through it. I mean, years ago when he was in Indiana, I think it was, that's when he had a catastrophic injury and it took him a while to come back.
Yeah.
But since then, it's like knee, groin, leg, hamstring, hand. It's dizziness was one of them, which that's bizarre. Foot, hamstring, quad, shoulder.
That was a slight. That
any
was
for sneezing and sneezing and sneezing?
A couple illnesses on here. Okay, and this is even pre-pandemic.
So most of them were like it was like lower body injuries.
Yeah.
So basically, we just got to put him on a different regimen. You know, make him stretch. Maybe a stretch regimen of nutrition. Make him, you know. Why are you looking at me laughing? I'm just saying. I'm trying to help the man out. I'm trying to keep him healthy.
I'm sure the Sixers are too. Sometimes players just don't are never healthy. I like how Jeff's take was, they're going to be hurt. Let's just hope it's at the right time. You said something like that earlier. Let's hope they're healthy at the right time.
I mean, you have to be creative. Like, there's some players that they're good when they're not injured, but they're always injured. You just have to figure out a strategy. And I think Coach Nurse is going to, you know, figure out a strategy. I would not be surprised if we see, what, 82, 60 games, maybe 70, 71? Like the ceiling, just to keep them healthy?
I think that should be what they do.
I mean, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. What I think with some of the moves that they've made, that's what we're looking at.
Well, they have to, because if you're I mean, there's only one way to do this. You need all three of them healthy in the playoffs. It's the only way this is going to work, and that's been an issue for George and Embiid for a long time. 215-592-9494. Drea in Philly's up. Hey, Drea.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Drea, how you doing?
Good. So, I personally, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I am not happy with this Paul George signing. I told y'all that as soon as we got eliminated, that Daryl Morey was going to get somebody that is older and damaged goods. So, I mean, I understand that he kind of probably didn't have a lot to work with, but I just feel like this is more pressure. See, because we all know Embiid and Paul George are going to be injured at the same time.
Well, Drea, it's hard not to believe
it. I cannot,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you can't argue that.
The reality is, can we count on them to play from October all the way to June? Because that's the only way to win an NBA championship. Or the season starts in October, it ends in June, and neither of them have ever shown they could do that.
And, no, I agree. And I also agree with you. I'm sorry. You do have to look at the stats. And I know you don't want to look in the past, Hugh, but you are the one that always say you're from the Missouri state. You have to show me.
I know I moved. I ain't gonna lie, Dre.
Paul George showed us.
I moved the
line. In Dallas, and I'm with Joe. Do you understand that in game five, he scored 15 points. Game six in Dallas, elimination, he scored 18.
Yeah,
he shot 2 of 10, Hugh, in elimination.
I've moved the line.
Exactly. And we are living our entitled on this. I'm more excited that we signed Drummond. And that says something. That means that's bad. That I am more excited that we signed Drummond.
Well, I do like the Drummond signing.
I do like it, too. And the fact that, yeah. I mean, okay, Dre, I moved the line.
You moved the line significantly.
I moved the line significantly. And I know that there's probably some people out there remember the argument that I had a few weeks ago. But listen, like I said, it's 1:55. The club is closing. We got to, and look at it like this. We made a move on the first day of free agency. We didn't mess around. Made that move.
Made a move? Because
we're desperate.
Because Daryl Morey, if you look at it, I don't care. They say he's the dingus. I feel like he doesn't know how to really put a team together. He seems like he is asphyxiated on famous names. Like, damn it, superstars. No, he's not good. I'm still going to ride with my Sixers, but pray that Maxey stays healthy, because we already know when it comes to 50 games, he is going to be taking over, because Embiid and Paul George are both going to be hurt.
Well, that's very likely. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Maxey's going to have, Drea, we appreciate it. There's going to be, whether it be by load management or just because they get hurt, there's going to be games where Maxey's going to have to be the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one of the two is on the floor with him, or he's the only one. That's real. As far as the Morey thing goes, I'll give Morey credit for this. He put a plan together and he executed it, right?
Yeah, and he executed it quickly.
That's what he wanted to do. He saved the cap space. He wanted to go get a third star. I just find it fascinating that the league is moving away from this. And he's sticking to it. The three stars, the three highly paid guys, and then like fill the roster out with whatever you could find. Because I was reading about more of these penalties for it's called the second apron.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, you guys know this? If you stay in the higher tax bracket of the salary cap for 2 out of 4 years, which I imagine the Sixers are going to, right? Because they have all these three highly paid guys. Then I think 6 years in the future, they automatically move your first round pick to the end of the first round, no matter where you are. It just moves to the end. Like, they're trying to get teams to not have three stars. It's like the way the league is going now. Morey's zigging here when the rest of the league is zagging.
So basically, you got to get, like, you have to do a good job of drafting and get some really, really good role players. I mean, that's kind of like the formula for the Boston Celtics, and that's how they won. They got some really, really good role players in there. Like high-level role players.
Very high-level. Yeah, and they also developed guys. Like Derek White became a really good player for them from later in the first round.
I look at Boston as more of like a star-driven team than like a role. Like the role player thing, I think of the Knicks.
I know what you think.
Last year.
I know you're talking about Drew. Drew
yeah,
is a
Holiday. Holiday's a really, really good player.
Well, he's not a role player. Yeah, he's an all-star.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. I get we made the move out of desperation, but I just want everybody who's saying that this was a desperation move. What would you have done?
What was the alternative? I would have blown it up.
I know, but like, let's live in a reality where, you know, the reality where that's not what they're going to do. They're going to take swings at this with Joel Embiid. So given what we know about like the Sixers' plans for making this work in this window with Joel Embiid, you know, we all would have come in here today freaking out if they didn't land Paul George, if they didn't land anybody. Like there's no alternative here.
Yeah, we was in a rock and a hard place. 155, man. 155 in the morning club.
All right, let me ask you guys then. And I don't know if this was available, but we know it was rumored. Because you look right now, do the Sixers have a starting five, like today? And they don't have to yet, right? The free agency's still going.
What, four?
They have a starting four. So Kyle, you brought it up. Like, what else could they have done? I'll just present another scenario. Tell me what you would have rather. Paul George for 4-212 or KCP, who went to the Magic, and trade for Brandon Ingram. I mean, that probably that money would have worked, right? They could have got two starters. I mean, I'll just present it to you guys. Would you rather have had two guys or one guy? Because they're going with the one guy route, and doesn't it feel like they're just going to try to piece the rest together? Like, just whatever we could get to fill the roster around these three players.
You're talking about Kentavious, right?
Yeah, who went to the Magic.
Okay.
Because they spent all their money on one guy, and now they're just trying to fill in the rest of the team.
No, I hear what you're saying. With him, I know that was a piece that a lot of people wanted, and you're talking about. Who's the other piece you said?
Well, I said,
it was him.
And then trade for Ingram.
And Ingram. Ingram, the one that I had the question mark about. And where is he at mentally, and what is he going to give us?
And you'd have to trade for him, which costs picks.
Yeah, but you would have still, I see what you're saying, but you'd have still had some money to work with, and you could have filled out your roster that way.
Yeah,
that's a good question.
I'm curious where they go now, right? Because we keep looking at the roster, and it's like, who starts on this team right now today?
They do still have some room, though. Like, they're not out of money.
No, but what can they get with $8 million in the modern NBA?
I don't have names in front of me, but, like, I clearly their idea is going to be more 3-and-D guys, like wings, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So it's just a matter of getting guys that are going to fit. Like, Embiid and Maxey, I know they lost in the first round last year, but I don't view them as like that far away from what, like, I think Paul George makes them leaps and bounds better than where they were last year.
I agree.
Makes them better than the Knicks. And now, like, if they can fill out the rest of the roster with guys that just fit, they don't need to be stars. They just need to do what their job is. And I think they'll be right there at the top with the right moves.
Well, that would be the plan here. And I'll say this. Yes, if it all goes right. But how many games are they all going to play next year? Because didn't people do this with the Clippers every year when the season started? Well, the Clippers could win 60 games, but they didn't play enough. That's my question. Is if you tell me right now Embiid and George play 75 games each next year, they're going to win a lot of games, right? They're going to win 55 or 60 games. I wonder how many games they will play and will they have load management, all that. K. Cool in North Philly. What's up, K. Cool?
Hey, my guys. Good morning.
Good morning,
K. Cool. What's up?
Oh, man, luckily nobody cares about what Evan Turner thinks. What has he done in this league?
Not much.
Everybody go to Amazon and get a podcast bundle and then go on a podcast and just say anything.
That is true. That's what these podcasts are, for sure.
Yeah, and Tobias Harris, Asian man, he got to be goated, man. Like, he needs to be studied.
I'm trying to tell you.
0 points in a game seven, you getting $25 million a year? That's crazy.
Bananas.
He belongs in the Agent Hall of Fame. I agree with you, K. Cool.
And as far as Paul George, I was on the fence. But now that we signed him, like, I'm kind of, like, cool with it. And then at the end of the day, like, who were we going to get? Jimmy Butler wanted to stay. Ingram is not polished enough. LeBron obviously not going nowhere. His son just got drafted. Who was we going to get?
Well, now, this was the best player available.
Like I said,
based on everything.
It was 1:55 in the morning, and the club is closing at 2. You got to make a move.
You got to bust a move. You're going to go home alone.
You're going home by yourself.
And then everybody would have been pissed if we woke up and just signed Chris Paul and nobody. Everybody in their right mind would have been pissed in Philadelphia.
Well, of course. I mean, because he's washed. I mean, he's washed Chris Paul.
Exactly. So I feel as though, like, let's just – hope they do not get injured. That's the only thing I'm worried about. And I just hope they grow, because the window is now. And B got about 2-3 more years left before he's, you know, not with us no more. And they just went at the polished player that's stamped already. So I'm okay in his move.
Okay, cool. Good phone call. So I guess are we all okay with that this could look ugly in a couple years?
I think that's where we are. Okay. I think when you look at it, and you look at Joel Embiid and those knees of his, and anybody that has a pair of knees, that's a guy that tries to play rec basketball on a Saturday. They know that after a while, it's going to catch up with you. So you look at Paul George and him. I know the money, you know, it's not an ideal spot to be in, but you got a young Tyrese Maxey who has those fresh legs out there. And then you just got another young guy in McCain that you just drafted. So there's something there if you develop them correctly, which is asking a lot from a team that hasn't done a great job of developing players in the past. But you kind of have some young guys that if you play this right with the right coach, that you could kind of usher. The blow won't be as heavy in the next couple of years, if you can develop, if Max becomes more of a superstar.
And McCain becomes. Well, you're right about that. That's part of sustaining excellence over the years. You need that. Free agency coverage on WIP presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So, yeah, that's totally part of this. Some of this, I'm just listening to everyone kind of, maybe talk themselves into it is the wrong way to say it, but like
you're probably about right.
All right, you know what it reminds me of a little bit?
What's that?
It reminds me, Hugh, of the reaction here when the Phillies signed Trey Turner. Okay, like everyone accepted when Trey got here. Is Trey really good? Yeah, right. Like there were no questions. Is Trey Turner a good baseball player when he got here?
Mm-hmm.
But he signed an 11-year contract, and I think anyone that really thought through that realized the end of that contract is going to be pretty ugly. Feels like we're doing that with Paul George. Now, this is much shorter. This is only 4 years. But there's just not many 37-year-olds in the NBA that could justify being paid $55 million. And that's what the Sixers are going to do at the end of this deal with Paul George. It feels a little bit like we're just hoping for the best, hoping he staves off the decline for as long as he can, and we got one out of it.
You get a championship out of it. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're hoping for. I still believe, and I know you are on the fence about this, or you don't believe this to be true. Joel Embiid is the best player on the floor at any given time during the NBA season, in my opinion.
One of.
He is the best player on the floor at any given time. We don't have to argue that. Let's disagree. But if he's healthy, he gives you a hell of a chance of winning. And like we said, if Tobias Harris gives you, excuse me, if
what
the upgrade for
say?
Paul George, if the upgrade for Tobias Harris gives us what he gave us last year, 22 points a game. I think we're in a good spot. I really do.
Well, and he certainly should, if he's staving off decline, be able to get a lot of open shots with these two around him, right? Maxey will draw attention, especially when he goes to the basket. And obviously Joel draws a lot of attention. I mean, that is a couple of things that look like they're still very high level with Paul George. His catch and shoot ability, and he should be able to hit a lot of threes here, and his ability in isolation to hit some jump shots. The one thing that is changing with him, though, and we'll see how long it continues to, is he's not rebounding at the same level he used to. He's not as playmaking as much, and he's not getting to the free throw line as much. Those things feel like they're not as part of his game now as much as they used to be. Jack's in Boston. What's up, Jack?
Look, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Jack. What are you feeling today?
I just wanted to call and say, I'm personally a big fan of the move. When you get a big name like Paul George, that name comes with, like, you know, a lot of baggage, like the pandemic P memes, all that stuff. But we look at the actual play you're getting. You're getting a guy that averaged, you know, 23 a game on almost 50, 40, 90 shooting and played 74 games last year. That's an elite third option. And in terms of fit, I think the fit's pretty damn near perfect. He doesn't need the ball in his hands, kind of like the same way Jimmy would, Jimmy Butler would. So, And in the playoff stuff, I think is real. He's come up short a lot in the playoffs. You know, he had tough games 5 and 6. But, I mean, if you look to some of his previous playoffs, I think it's kind of underrated how good he was in past years. You know, 2021, he averaged 26 a game for a team that went to the Western Conference Finals as the number one option. So, you know, I don't think you're hardly ever going to get a perfect fit in free agency like this one, but I think this one is pretty damn near close.
So fit wise, yeah, Jack. I mean, it does feel pretty easy to make him work here, right? Like that's the probably the easiest part of this. The contract, I have some concerns about his injuries, the playoff stuff, but just the fit, it does work. I mean, he's like they have a player now at each level that makes the other ones, you know, work off them. Like I Jack, I could see him getting 3 or 4 or 5 catch and shoot 3 attempts a game, like open ones.
No, yeah, totally. And I think with Maxey and Embiid having the ball as much as they do in their hands, that takes some pressure off him. He's not going to be asked to do as much. So I think that's going to help him kind of, he stays in that role, to hopefully stay healthier throughout the year. So I'm a bit more positive considering he played 74 games last year. I'm not as worried about the injury stuff as I think some other people might be, which I don't know, given his history, obviously. But yeah, so I'm pretty more positive on that side of it.
Yeah, and hopefully, and this happens to those. So Jack, we appreciate it. I mean, sometimes too, there are players who have a few years or a handful of years of injuries, and then they find health again. Like football, Matthew Stafford had a lot of injuries, and then he stayed healthy. Grant Hill in the NBA, very injury prone, and then at the end of his career, he wasn't. So maybe, right? There's a chance that Paul.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Because you mentioned he did play 74 in our last caller did last year. It's just that was the first time in the last 5 years he played that many games.
Yeah, and I think you have to be strategic in the way that you're playing and how you're spelling, because you're right. You got Joel Embiid that's a little bit older, that's oft injured, and you have Paul George here, and you're going to need him in the playoffs. But you got the young spry legs and Tyrese Maxey. The one thing I think about when I think about Tyrese Maxey is his ceiling is very, very high. And the fact that he ran around in that playoff series, and it was a knockdown drag out, and he really was like, you could see how much energy he was like the Energizer Bunny.
He never
out there
got tired.
Yeah, he was the Energizer Bunny. So I think there's amazing. There's something there that you build off of when it comes to him.
215-592-9494. More reaction to the Paul George signing. Like it, love it, skeptical. Where are you on the Sixers giving 4 years, $212 million to Paul George? Hugh is a big fan of it. He's excited. I'm skeptical of the idea of giving this much to a player that is really good, but he's entering his age 34, 35, 36 seasons. Are you excited? We'll get your phone calls up here. Plus, the Phils. The weekend that was, the good, the up, the down. They take 2 or 3 since Friday against tomorrow's. We'll react to it all right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The Philadelphia Police Department is looking for the best and brightest recruits to become members of the fourth largest police department in the nation. Join them and become the face your community counts on. They're accepting applications for police officers now through July 21st. When you join the PPD, you'll receive a starting salary of over $61,000. And a sign-on bonus of more than $12,000, that's not bad. Not to mention an incredible benefits package that includes medical, dental, gotta have that dental, and vision insurance. Starting on your first day, 6 weeks paid parental leave, paid holidays, sick days and vacation, tuition reimbursement, pension, and more. Applications are being accepted for a limited time, so don't wait. Apply today at joinphillypd.com. That's joinphillypd.com. Be the face your community counts on. Equal opportunity.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nothing in two. The kick, the pitch. Swing and a miss. Nice. He struck him out. And Christopher Sanchez, for the first time in the big leagues, has thrown a complete game shutout. Sanchez bending over at the waist, slapping his bare hand on the glove a few times in celebration of his first ever shutout.
What a night it was Friday for Christopher Sanchez. City Connect uniforms, his first ever shutout. So the Phils get 2 out of 3 over the weekend against Miami, which is what we all said we would have taken Friday when we left here, because they lost that game Thursday. And Hugh, when we left Friday, it was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, I'd say, worry about Schwarber, and especially Harper. Like, we were bracing for the worst during that show on Friday for the news. And then kind of as soon as we got out and the afternoon show came on, the news came out. And it's actually pretty good. I feel pretty good after the weekend. Like, am I frustrated they blew the one game on Saturday? Yeah, it was kind of like Thursday's game. Mm-hmm. And the whole series was pretty tight against Miami. They did win yesterday with a big hit by Trey. And Castellanos had a big day yesterday. So they get the win, the comeback win yesterday. But my biggest takeaway, Hugh, over the weekend is what a start by Sanchez, who's become a really good pitcher. And
right on time.
They really dodged a bullet with Schwarber and Harper. And that's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that they showed a lot of resilience yesterday. Like, I'm listening to that game yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this one's over. Because it was going back and forth early on, and then the Marlins took the lead, so I thought it was kind of over. But the way that they fought back and got into that, when I was like, yeah, this team is showing a lot of resilience at a time where, you know, there was a lot of questions about whether or not they were pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys were hurting. Were they trying to do too much? And they did just enough, man, to win that game and come back and win that game. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
Wow, yeah, I don't think you were the only one who thought it was over yesterday. Based on how their offense has been, yeah, you know, the last few days, but now without.
I needed that, though, too. I needed them.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I mean, we were ready to have a funeral for your runs prediction.
Yeah,
they were scoring like one or two each game. So, yeah, no, that was a big one yesterday to come back. Get it off day today. Phillies go to Wrigley Field for this week, and they'll be there for the July 4th games this coming week. So if they get 2 out of 3, let's hear from Topper talking about the injuries and how they got good news on Bryce and Kyle here.
Since it's not worst-case scenario, it's overall good news with both Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, when that first happened, especially with Harp, because I saw Harp, you know, struggle getting back to the base and limping. And I didn't see Schwarber, but I heard from the trainer that something happened to his groin. Really kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. I felt like this was going to be long term, but we got some good news on the MRIs, and it's very mild, and it looks like they're not going to be out long, and that's we dodged a bullet here.
So look, they're already 30% of the way through now. If it is just the 10-day IL for both of them, and it does seem like with Schwarber that is very realistic. Harper, I'm not sure if it's going to be exactly 10. So if I'm correct on this, the 10-day IL would put them to what, like the end of next week? I think it would be the end of next week before that final weekend of the first half of the season. So they, you know, they have a little bit of, you know, they have wiggle room if they want to.
I think it's
backdate it.
The ninth, right? The ninth is the earliest.
Okay,
I think.
So that would be the Dodgers series, and then after that would be the Oakland series, and then it's the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. So my point is, if they didn't want to rush it, they can give them that extra 2 weeks to get back.
Yeah, I don't think you should rush it. I mean, I know the diagnosis was great, but again, you don't want to rush those things. You don't want to compound them. So you just give him a little bit of time. Let him get back. Let him get right. I think Schwarber will be back before Bryce.
That seems likely. So here's Topper on when they're back. Is it ASAP? Will they come right off? Here's the timeline kind of moving forward.
Both go on the 10-day IL, so the earliest they can be back is July 9th. I know you have the cushion there. There's an all-star break coming just around the corner from there. So I guess that gives you a little wiggle room. If you want to, you could give them even some extra time.
You could, but if they're healthy and we know that it's completely healed, we'll bring them back as soon as we can and get them back in the lineup. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be very long. Those guys are both quick healers, and we got a great training staff, and they're going to take care of them.
Well, that's interesting because that July 9th date is a sort of a series against the Dodgers. I mean, you know, I know we're not thinking that far ahead, home field advantage in the playoffs, but those games are big. But yeah, the other side of that is if they just hold him back six more days, they get the full All-Star break. It almost, Kyle, would be like two extra weeks to heal. Or I guess maybe 11 extra days.
Yeah, but, I mean, in that All-Star week is the All-Star game, which we know that Bryce Harper wants to play in.
Right.
And this is the other thing I thought of. I think one of those games is, it's an ESPN national game against the Dodgers.
It is. It's the Wednesday game.
And that could be Bryce Harper's chance to at least, you know, if not pull ahead, gain some ground on Shohei Ohtani in the MVP race.
I'm sure he wants to play.
It's almost like, remember like Embiid and Jokic when they get national TV games?
Uh-huh,
like that's kind of what that game represents a little bit. And like, if I know Bryce Harper, you know he wants to, he's targeting that game. He's targeting the All-Star game. Like Bryce Harper wants to play in all these games.
I'm sure he does. And I hope there's an adult in the room that is making sure we're 100% healthy before. Because look, Trey had a big day yesterday, but what have we been dealing with Trey since he got back? He doesn't look fully healthy.
Yeah, he doesn't
moving.
Look like, yeah, his mobility is questionable.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is they got good news, right? Like they're eligible to come off next Tuesday. And if not, then it's going to be very quickly. This is a matter of a few days here or there.
Yeah. And I mean, given the timeline and given what Topper said, he likened Harper's hammy to more of the Brandon Marsh than the Trey Turner. And Marsh, I mean, to me, looks fine running out there. He came back pretty much right away.
Yeah,
I know he did a rehab stint, which we know Harper's not going to do. And Brandon Marsh looks way better running on that hamstring than Trey Turner does. So, I mean, if that's anything to refer to.
I agree. I just hope we're not making an ESPN game against the Dodgers in July and an All-Star game the following Tuesday. The big picture things here.
It's very Embiid Jokic.
I agree with you. All right, so we get some good news on the injuries. Phillies take 2 out of 3 from Friday on split the series against Miami. The good news, though, on the field, Sanchez. I mean, it's unbelievable how good he's gotten. I mean, he went from a guy that was like, yeah, you know, he's the back of the rotation. He'll be fine back there. He's dominant. I mean, he was amazing on Friday night, Christopher Sanchez.
Yeah, man. And that, like I said, is coming at a time where, you know, you look at Ranger, hasn't had a couple starts where hasn't looked so great. So pitching is carrying the day for us at this point because the hitting has kind of slowed down a little bit. So, yeah, it's a perfect timing for him to come on the way
that
he did Friday.
Ranger looks like he's hit a little bit of a wall. Maybe he's a little tired.
When the kids came, man.
Well, maybe he's not getting sleep.
Them kids keeping him up.
I didn't even think about it until you said
it. Said, you don't think about stuff like that. It was funny.
No, it's an interesting point.
No, because it's funny because I know when his wife and kids came, that was the first time you see him in a while. They probably excited to see dad. They probably ain't sleeping. You know, they probably visiting, you know, being here in Philadelphia, seeing all the great sights. Isn't the Lego thing going on around here somewhere?
I took my son to the Lego thing.
The brick by brick thing?
Yeah, the Franklin Institute.
Yeah, the art of the brick
or
whatever
it is. Yeah, it was really cool, by the way.
Yeah, so he probably taking him there and he probably jumping all up and down. Ain't seen Pops in a while. He's been a little off the last couple of days. We just gave him a couple of days off, man, and let him adjust. They're having the family here.
He has been off. He was not very good yesterday, but Sanchez has picked up the slack. So how about this? I saw this stat the other day. It blew me away. So over his last two starts, Christopher Sanchez, 16 innings pitched. He's allowed 0 runs, 0 walks, and 0 extra base hits. Okay, in the last 40 years, there's only one other left-handed pitcher, Hugh Douglas, that has done that. You know what that guy's name is? Clayton Kershaw.
Okay.
I mean, Sanchez is really pitching at a high level. So Phils get a win yesterday in comeback fashion, off today, and they head to Wrigley to take on the Cubs this weekend. Then they're in Atlanta this next weekend. Cubs the middle of this week. Braves this coming weekend. Still up 8, by the way, in the Braves. Braves cut it to 7, went back to 8 yesterday.
They got to keep that cushion. That's the only way that you can pallet. Because nobody should expect them to, like, dominate the Braves here without the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to keep that until they get to that series.
Sure, yeah, just keep the lead. I mean, yeah. I don't think that we should expect them to expand it without Harper and Schwarber, but yeah, keep the lead. 215-592-9494. All right, back to phones. Obviously, you can react to any of this Philly stuff. And Paul George, do you like the signing? Are you skeptical, excited? Where are you on the Paul George signing as the Sixers give 4 years, $212 million to Paul George? Why are you laughing? You look at that Tobias Harris contract
no,
again?
I'm just laughing because I could just imagine people like, okay, that bum. $212 million.
Yeah, he's not a bum, but
he's not.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but
it's a lot.
I know some people are upset about it.
Yeah, the bum is Tobias, who got. By the way, Tobias Harris got $52 million this morning from the Pistons.
Dollars.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
There's no better marriage in free agency than Tobias and a loser
not
team.
Man, all star game ever, but Detroit. He going like you.
Somebody take our money, please. Oh, Toby will take it.
You're going to basketball purgatory.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's been there before. He used to play there.
We've all been spared that this happened because you know what I was going to suggest later on in the show. Sixers need another guy.
I'm glad you didn't have to do that.
Well,
because I can't handle it.
It wouldn't have been for a max contract.
He got 26 a year.
I know.
26, man. All right, let's go to Mike in North Philly. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, Mike. Man. What's up?
What's up, man? So I wanted to ask, you know, this question because I've been hearing this narrative about Daryl Morey and Paul George. And to me, it doesn't seem like we had a clear alternative. I know we talked about KCP or signing other, mid-level vets. And I don't think any of that would have moved the needle. So if you were Daryl Morey and he's getting all this heat about only signing older guys, so when I looked at the free agent market, there wasn't anybody out there except for older guys, and all of them had their own baggage. With Jimmy Butler, we would have had to give up all of these picks, and he's the same age, and he's not as good as a shooter, even though he has quote-unquote winning DNA, and he never won anything. Then you have LeBron James, and I would have taken LeBron James, but once he said that, we couldn't sign his son, that shit kind of sailed. So outside of signing Paul George, what were the other things we could have done outside of kicking the can down the line and wasting another year of Joel Embiid?
Well, I mean, not much. I mean, not if you wanted to move the needle, like you're saying, right? Like the all-star level player. Mike, there wasn't many of those guys, especially in free agency. They really had two choices here. They could have traded, blown it up, started a rebuild, trade Embiid. But if they were going for it, which obviously they are, this was probably the only real option they had to throw money and hope Paul George took it.
Exactly. So, you got to take that risk. You paying 4 years and that 37, is he going to be overpaid? Absolutely. But then at that point, Joel Embiid is 34. So it's kind of going to be over with anyway. So I think in the next 2 to 3 years, you got to roll the dice and take this risk and hopefully it results in a championship. Otherwise, we wasted our time anyway.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Mike, I agree on that. And so, Mike, it's a good phone call. So here's what I just thought about as Mike said that.
Which is right.
So the Sixers didn't have to use their draft picks to get Paul George, right? It was a signing. I wonder if in the next year or two, because we keep saying, they still need another player, right? They're a starter, sure. It doesn't have to be a star, but they need a player in here. I wonder if the Sixers view it the way Mike just did, and maybe a lot of us do. They signed George for 4 years, but maybe the next two is their real chance before he gets old.
I think so.
I wonder if they're going to be really aggressive
next year.
Or just whenever a trade pops up to get one more player, almost for the future's screwed anyway.
Yeah.
We're just going to go for it when we in the next year or two.
That makes sense because, like I said, you have Jared McCain, you have the young guy, you have a rising star in Tyrese Maxey. You have a really good coach. You have a really, really good coach. And you basically placate the fan base, Joe, by going out and getting a Paul George, hopefully a healthy Joel Embiid, and making a run because the East is weak. So you kind of, in essence, kill two birds with one stone. And the fact that even in the press conference, even though he was doing a little bit of double talking, he said that there's probably going to be a chance that Jared's going to play. It's going to be a chance he said his chance that the young cat's going to play. So, if you get him on the court, I know he's 19 and all this other stuff, he's a young cat, but just get him that experience, and maybe in 2 or 3 years, this move to move on isn't as rough as it would have been if we had traded Joel Embiid or didn't get Paul George to be here.
Well, and that's why, I think it was pretty clear yesterday as the whole thing started to play out. He was not just their number one choice, he was their only choice.
Yeah.
I mean, they were there. It seemed from all the reporting yesterday, the Sixers were out there in California as soon as the clock hit 6 o'clock Eastern. They were trying to meet with him, and they got the meeting last night, and they talked to him, and I woke up this morning, the deal was done. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Huge old Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
All right, I want to cook a little bit. Give me a little second. I'm going to touch on the Phillies real quick. On and that series against the Marlins, I was getting a little worried about our backs because we weren't producing in that series. But I do like the comeback that we did yesterday. But I got to think on Trey, man. I feel like Trey Turner, at times, he'll bet or do a fur when Harper and Schwarber and these guys are in the lineup. And I feel like even last year when Harper was out, I feel like Turner started cooking for a little bit. And I feel like at times when they are in the lineup, he don't really, you know, hit like he's supposed to hit. So I hope when the other guys come back, I hope Turner does keep turning up. Because it was great to see him come back off that hamstring yesterday and get those hits on his birthday. That was good to see.
Yeah, man. It was. And he needed it. That was a big hit. I mean, that won the game, that one yesterday.
And I was telling Kyle about the Paul George situation. Because yesterday I was talking to my dad on the phone. I was ripping Daryl Morey. And my dad's like, yeah, give him a chance, give him a shot. And I'm like, I told my dad, I got to see it. I got to see what this guy's going to do. So he does Paul George. But my thing is, I told Kyle, it's not just about Paul George. It's about what you were saying earlier, Joe. It's about the other pieces this guy brings to the team. It's not just about Paul George. It's about how he rounds out this roster. I like the Drummond sign. I like bringing Kelly back. But you guys, you have to put a team around these guys to compliment these guys. Because bringing Paul George, everybody's counting them, saying, oh, yeah, we bringing Paul George here. But who else were you going to sign? And my thing is, he's a wing player. He's not another guard. He's a wing. So to me, when you play the Boston Celtics, he's able to guard Tatum. He's able to guard these other big forwards and guards. He's able to do that. So I feel like if we put some 3-and-D guys, we grab some other wing players, this could go well. But Joel Embiid and Paul George got to want this. They got to go into this offseason because both of these guys got about 3 or 4 good years left. Paul George probably down to 2, if you ask me. They got to come in here and they got to want it this year. They got to want it more than anybody. I don't know if Embiid got to lose some weight. If he got to, in the offseason, get with a nutritionist, whatever he has to do. They gotta go in there in this offseason and hit it head on. And I'm glad that we have Nick Nurse at the helm. So whoever this guy brings in, we got Gordon too. I like the Gordon signing because he's an excellent shooter. If you ask me, he played great last year. So if Nick Nurse can gel this team together and this guy can stay healthy, it could be a good fit. But if these guys don't want it, it could be a bastard.
Well, and they're going to have to want it to keep themselves in shape and healthy too, Terrence. Not just want it, and Terrence, we appreciate the phone call, but do enough to keep themselves on the court. I mean, because that's the issue with Embiid and George more than anything. Not that they're not great or really good, that they get hurt all the time. Yeah, the Eric Gordon signing was interesting yesterday. You know, it almost feels like it's inevitable he got here because he used to be with the Rockets with Daryl Morey. So it felt like that was
familiarity.
He is the one thing about Eric Gordon I've always found fascinating, he will shoot a 3-pointer from anywhere he gets the basketball, like five.
He's very, very comfortable in his skill set.
I mean, like, he'll shoot way behind the 3-point arc. I mean, they used to do it with the Rockets all the time. So I like that. I thought all the moves yesterday for those role players that they brought in or back here were good ones. Oubre and Drummond and Gordon, like, those are good moves.
Yeah. And you talk about what we had, what we got, as opposed to what we had last year. There's a couple times where, who was it we brought in? Buddy Hield?
Buddy.
Buddy had a good game. I'm not going to kill Buddy
Hield. He had the one in the elimination game. But before that.
But, man, like, there were times where we were looking for shooting from guys that just didn't give it to us. So to have guys out here that could probably give us timely shooting, I feel comfortable about us being able to beat the Knicks.
Well, and to your point on shooting with Gordon, I mean, Gordon, that's what he's done since he got in the league. I mean, he takes three. So last year he averaged 5.83 three attempts a game, 5 the year before, 5, 7, 8. Like, he's here to shoot the ball when it's open and he's passed to him. Alex is up next. Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's going on? Hopeful, you, and half glass. What's going
That's
on?
That's us, Alex. What are you thinking today, bud?
Hopeful is living up to his title.
I feel attacked a little bit, Alex. A little bit.
You should. hey, man, look. They gave us just enough to keep the stands full, but it ain't going to get nothing done. Look, they should have blew this up a long time ago. But they trying to ride it out. But man, look, man, I am underwhelmed with this daggone pick. Like, it's like, come on, man. Like, they could have, they keep holding on. Let me put it to you this way. This is why I hated the freaking process, because it got us into a culture of losing, man. It's like we're willing to accept anything as long as this freaking, they make some kind of move. Oh, well, he chose us. He chose us. He did this. He did that. Like, I don't care about any of that. Like, this team needed to be blown up a long time ago, man. It needed to be blown up a long time ago because Embiid is not the dude. But now we're stuck with him. We got an anchor dragging us way behind, and they're not going to beat the freaking Celtics, and they're not going to beat the Knicks. Like, it's just a maintain, and the one thing I'm glad about is that they didn't get rid of their draft picks, so at least next year they can start this rebuild.
Well, Alex, that of all the things that they did this offseason or didn't do, that's the one. At least this didn't cost draft picks. It's a risky contract. I mean, 4 years, 212 for a player this old is risky, but at least there were no draft picks. I like that, too.
Yeah, and then you got to think of it this way. If the Eagles or the Phillies were settling like that, just grabbing anybody, we would be up in freaking arms about it. We would be freaking complaining like crazy. But it's got, like, with the Sixers, it's like we're willing to accept this from them. No, if we accept nothing less than excellence from our other teams, then they should be held to the same standard, man. This losing mentality has got to change, man.
Well, that's fair, Alex.
If we keep accepting it, man, it's going to keep on going.
Yeah, Alex, I think it's fair to say that. Alex, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, there is a twinge of talking ourselves that this is a good idea. Which we're talking ourselves in a little bit.
I mean, yeah, of course we are.
Yeah, because 34 years old.
Yeah, because we feel like it can work. You can't deny that it has the potential
of course.
To work. Now, there's a whole lot of ducks that need to be put in a row for this to actually happen.
Injured ducks, by the way.
You ain't gotta bring that to life. I'm just saying.
Just the reality of it.
It could happen. We've seen teams, you know, get guys like this and put them in good position, mm-hmm. and they can win games. So, yeah. Al Horford didn't have the most stellar career down. Well, he did play well against us. But still, you get where I'm going with this.
Are we all a little concerned about the age on this team on the court next season?
Like, they're a little old.
Yeah, so obviously Maxey's, you know, young and entering his prime. But Eric Gordon's old. You know, Paul George is old. Joel's going to be in his 30s. Drummond's older. I mean, they got some age to attach to these guys. I hope the next guy they bring in a little younger. And we know McCain is rookie, but we'll see how much he plays. But they've added a lot of age.
Well, they're in a window. I mean, it's kind of like the Phillies. Like, do you really care about the age of a guy that they add at the trade deadline that much if it helps them win a title this year?
No. I'm just looking the last couple of years. Are the best players on the Celtics and Nuggets are in their 20s.
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, like, we only have 2-3 years where we're going to really be able to take a swing at those two teams. And, you know, sometimes those guys might have to come in age 34 through 39. Eric Gordon. How old's Eric Gordon?
Eric Gordon,
I feel like he's been 39 for like 5 years.
So he's, I mean,
what,
again,
35. He's 35.
I haven't seen a birth certificate. They're telling me 35. You don't buy it?
There's no way. There's no way Eric Gordon is only 35.
It's remarkable when you think to how when George and Gordon were drafted. Like, what were you doing in 2008? Because that's when Eric Gordon was drafted.
Well, I was watching the Phillies win a World Series.
Right, but besides, like, how old were you?
I was 13. You were, yeah.
Okay. So you were in 7th grade?
I was in 6th grade. So I was banging pots and pans outside my house when the Phillies won the parade.
And Paul George was drafted in 2010, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That was a while.
First year of high school for me.
It's a while ago.
A little bit ago.
2010. This is a long time ago, guys. These are who they brought in. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, more phone calls coming up. Your reaction, the Sixers have signed Paul George. 4 years, $212 million. One of the biggest signings in the history of the franchise. I mean, we could be real about it in terms of money, in terms of being a free agent with this kind of pedigree as a 9-time All-Star to choose Philadelphia. Are you excited? You're skeptical? Where do you come down on the Paul George signing? I'm obviously very skeptical. Hugh's excited today. Paul George on the max. When we come back, I'll get into a little bit more why I have the skepticism here. 215-592-9494. In fact, something Paul George said this past playoff run, I get where he's coming from, but man, it hit me hard when I heard him say it. That's next. Your phone calls. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.